Hey guys, welcome to today's discussion. We're going to be talking about transformation in general, but we will go through the archetypes which have to do with transformation. So that is transformation of the mind, which is the lovers, and then transformation of the body, which is actually the archetype of death. But it doesn't necessarily mean a complete physical death in the way that we know it. We'll get into it. And then we have transformation of the spirit, which is judgment, which may or may not have to do with actual judgment, but it may be regarding the state of the way that our mind is perceiving the archetype from the spirit that we might perceive it as somewhat of a judgment. So we'll get into it. But I do want to go through the actual definition of what transformation is, because we do need to visualize this and how it is working in our own minds, in our own life. I mean, not necessarily our minds, but in our own life and how we can recognize it. So the bona fide definition of transformation is a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. Okay. A metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. Okay, in physics, it is defined as the induced or spontaneous change of one element into another by nuclear process. Okay, you go down here, I mean, they offer some more insight into what transformation means or what the act of transforming, the act of processing. Process of transforming. The state of being is transformed. The state of being is transformed. A change in form, a change in ex appearance, nature, or character. And we, just for an example, you know, we might see this in a type of theater where somebody is having to perhaps put on a different role. And over here we have an act, process, or instance of transforming or being transformed. A genetic modification of a bacterium by incorporation of free DNA. So, just wanted to go over that, but let's start with transformation of the mind in the Law of One. This is session 79, question 39. Okay. Talking about the lovers, transformation of the mind, does that represent the merging of the conscious and the unconscious, or a communication between the conscious and the unconscious? Okay. Without being unperceptive, you miss the heart of this particular archetype, which may be more properly called the transformation of the mind. And then they ask, Don asks, well, okay, transformation of the mind into what? And Ra says, as you observe the archetype six, you may see the student of the mysteries being transformed by the need to choose betwixt the light and the dark and the mind. And this big old long thing, which if you give me a lot of patience, I do want to go through it all because it's so detailed. And I will say, reading about it is nothing compared to experiencing it. I'm getting better, somewhat better, about recognizing when I'm in a certain archetype versus the other. Sometimes it takes me a bit, but sometimes it takes the experience of these things for you to then recognize it. And then once you recognize it, you kind of move on to a different archetype, really, but it might be of the same mind or the same body, you know, so on and so forth. So yeah, if you give me a lot of patience, I do want to go through this because this is talking about the tarot archetype within ourselves, transformation of the mind. It is called the lovers, but in general, what I am getting out of this is it's not necessarily like a romantic relationship that most perceive it as, at least in Ra's case. What they were trying to teach about the lovers is it's more about a relationship with ourselves, and then in turn, That kind of gives us an insight on how our relationships with others, and that does not necessarily mean a romantic partner. That could be family, friends, strangers, etc., etc. Okay. Card number six. I see the transformation of the mind. The male's crossed arms representing transformation. The crossed arms represent transformation. Transformation being possible either toward the left or the right-hand path. So we have service to self, service to others. The right-hand path being beckoned or led by the female. The potentiator. Okay, potentiator of the mind is the high priestess. The one on the right having the serpent of wisdom at the brow and being fully clothed. The one on the left being less clothing and indicating that the matrix or potentiator would be more concerned and attracted to the physical illusion as a left-hand path is chosen, and more concerned and attracted to the mental as the right-hand path is chosen. So here we have outlined for us the difference between how a individual who is chosen service to self kind of views the world versus someone on the right-hand path views the world. Okay, so someone on the left-hand path, service to self, they really just strive for the material aspect of this illusion that we are in. Right-hand path is more attracted to the inner being, the spiritual world, the mental, and how we can choose to work on our own selves and then, in a sense, serve to change, serve the world with how we have done these things within ourselves, discovered these things within ourselves. The creature above points an arrow at the left-hand path, indicating that if this path is chosen, the chips will fall where they may. The path being unprotected as far as random activity of catalyst. Interesting. And the intellectual abilities of the chooser of that path would be the main guardian rather than a designed or built-in protection by the logos for the right-hand path. Okay. Rather than a designed or built-in protection by the logos for the right-hand path. Ultimate protection right there, the right-hand path. The entity firing the arrow being what seems to be a second density entity, so that would be any kind of animal, would indicate that this catalyst would be produced by a lesser evolved source, you might say. Okay. Would Ra comment on these observations of card six, the transformation of the mind? Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, why, just because they are a lesser evolved source, such as a my cat that's sitting here with me, why can't I have a catalyst produced by him? And we're all learning the same things and we're all going through the same stages and phases of these, so the catalyst can come from anywhere as far as I'm concerned. Let's see what Ross says, though. Okay. Let us examine the crossed arms and the male who is to be transformed. Okay. What do you make of the crossing? So what is, I mean, is there a certain symbolism that you derive from the crossing of the arms? What do you see in this tangle? There is a creative point to be found in this element, which was not discussed. Okay, let us now observe the evaluation of the two females. The observation, and this is the actual physical archetype card. The observation to the left-hand path moves the roughly physical into the right-hand path. The mental has a shallow correctness. There are deeper observations to be made concerning the relationship of the great sea of unconscious mind to the conscious mind, which may be fruitfully pursued. Remember that these images are not literal, They haunt rather than they explicate. Okay. All right. They get you thinking, in other words, they get you thinking. So, and when I think of something that haunts something, I just, it doesn't necessarily mean a negative thing. It means that, the awareness of it is making itself known. So, and it gets your mind going, and you think, and you want to decipher, and you want to study. Many use the trunk and roots of mind as if that portion of mind were a badly used prostituted entity. Then this entity gains from this great storehouse that which is rough, prostituted, and without great virtue. Okay. Those who turn to the deep mind, seeing it in the guise of the maiden, go forth to court it. The courtship has nothing of plunder in its semblance and may be protracted. Yet the treasure gained by such careful courtship is great. The right hand and left hand transformations of the mind may seem to differ by the attitude of conscious mind towards its own resources, as well as the resources of other selves. How are you interacting with these people? Are you seeing somebody else's actions as an attack always? Well, that probably means that you're attacking yourself in some way, shape, or form. So, are you seeing these so-called negative happenings as a positive thing in the long run? Are you seeing these things as a blessing in disguise? Well, I learned something from it, or I did. I was able to transform this into something. I was able to make this something into magic, and completely transform my way of thinking because this negative things happen into something greater. Learn something and moved on. We now speak of that genie or the elemental or mythical figure culturally determined, which sends the arrow to the left-hand transformation. This arrow is not the arrow which kills, but rather that which in its own way protects. Those who choose separation, the left-hand path, right, are protected from other selves by a strength and sharpness equivalent to the degree of transformation which the mind has experienced in the negative sense. Those upon the right-hand path have no such protection against other selves, for upon that path the Dhati seeker shall find many mirrors for reflection in each other self as it encounters. Again, I'll repeat, this is one thing to read it, so whole other thing to experience it, and it's very hard to describe. So, but it does say the, I believe in regards to the King's Chamber, that a perfectly balanced individual can be a walking King's Chamber, but then we find, walking, talking King's Chamber. But then we find that we're seeing mirrors and everything. So, but this is, where we are seeing everyone's light and dark at the same time, including your own, and your own darkness is mirrored back to you, as well as your own light is mirrored back to you. So I suppose the goal should be, well, let's bring forth more light instead of seeing my own darkness mirrored back to me. Of course, we're not going to particularly care for that. And in some instances, that darkness does need to be made aware of, or you need to be made aware of it so that we can clear it. Because how do we know what we need to clear if we can't see it mirrored back to us? So it is then that we go in and recognize our own for what it is. There is a certain amount of deciphering whether what is yours and what is somebody else's. But then again, yeah, I think it's good to know that. But when it really comes down to it, we are all one, we are all in this together. And we should still help to balance that. We should still have to balance that in some way, shape, or form by offering a form of service when you do see that somebody else is protecting, projecting this darkness, so to speak. And it's their choice to accept it or not. They don't have to. And then we need to understand that, we don't have to be responsible for somebody else's negative behavior. Okie doke. Thank you for having patience with me so I could get through that. Really felt like it was important to go through all of it. Let's move on now to question 99, session 10. In that case, I will just ask one additional short question as we terminate. May I ask if the logos of the system planned for the mating process as possibly depicted in card 6? I don't know if it's related by some type of DNA imprinting, as it has been studied by our science. And many second density creatures have some sort of imprinting that creates a lifetime mating relationship. Yeah, like turtle doves. Yeah, and I was wondering if this was designed by the logos for that particular mechanism, and if it was also carried to third density. There are some of your second density fauna which have instinctually imprinted monogamous mating processes. The third density physical vehicle, which is the basic incarnational tool of manifestation upon your planet, arose from entities thusly imprinted. All of the aforesaid being designed by the locus. So yeah, Don's question was absolutely correct. The free will of third density entities is far stronger than the rather mild carryover from the second density DNA encoding, and it is not part of the conscious nature of many of your mind-body spirit complexes to be monogamous due to the exercise of free will. Yeah. More, however, it has been noted that there are many signposts in the deep mind indicating to alert the adept the more efficient use of catalyst. If we have said the logos of your people has a bias towards kindness. Yeah, and I think this is really the difference of second density and third density. Third density, I mean, we are really more consciously aware. And we are really trying to make that choice between just wanting to be a good person, I think, and just wanting to be a kind person, as the logos is as well. Interesting. It does have something to do with that, courtship idea of the matrix, I'm sorry, transformation of the mind. To continue with this, I would like to make additional observation to card 6 at the male's arms being crossed. So now we're back to the male's arms being crossed. And we've seen this before. We see this in Osiris. We see this in other depictions as well. Just off the top of my head. If the female to his right, so in the card is a female to his right and to his left, and the one to the right represents the right-hand path, the one to the left represents the left-hand path. So if the female to his right pulls on his left hand, it would cant in effect turn him, his entire body, toward the right. And at the same time is true for the female on the left. Right. Okay. Pulling on his right hand, she will turn his entire body to her side. Which is kind of like a, okay, so yeah, and they said before that that female is kind of symbolic for the high priestess, the potentiator of the mind. And that is intuition. That is your divine feminine. Whether or not you're in a male body or female body, we still have that divine feminine intuition going on. Okay, which is my interpretation of what's meant by the tangle of the arms. That the transformation occurs by pull, which attempts to turn the entity towards the left or right-hand path. Okay. Ra says the concept of the pull towards mental polarity may well be examined in the light of what the student has already accredited concerning the nature of the conscious, exemplified by the male, and the unconscious, exemplified by the female. Indeed, both the prostituted and the virginal of deep mind invite and await the reaching with effort from the individual, I'm thinking. We have to want it. You know, I mean, if we're going to change, we have to want it. And it has to come from inside of us individually. You know, as much as we want to help others, that spark has to come from inside of them. We can offer information and they can take it or leave it. But when it really comes down to it, they're never going to change unless they want to and they want to put in the work or they recognize that they need to. Sorry, I was taking a drink. Okay. In the image of transformation of the mind, each of the females points the way it would go, but is not able to move. Nor are the two female entities striving to do so. So they are stationary. They are at rest, okay? The conscious entity holds both and will turn itself one way or another, potentially forwards and backwards, rocking first one way and then the other, and not achieving the transformation. In order for the transformation of mind to occur, one principle governing the use of the deep mind must be abandoned, letting go of our distortions. It is noted that the triangle shape formed by the shoulders and the crossed elbows of the consciousness is a shape to be associated with transformation. Indeed, you may see this shape echo twice more in the image, each echo having its own riches to add to the impact of this complex of concepts. Okay. So the male in the actual picture represents the conscious mind, and on each side of him is that potentiator, which is the divine feminine intuition, representing the service to others and service to self path. And, you know, one, the conscious mind may be pulled one way or another, it may go back and forth. But in order for whatever transformation to occur in whichever polarity that you are choosing, one principle governing the use of the deep mind must be abandoned. This is letting go of our distortions and letting go of the prior concepts that we believe to be the way the world worked or didn't work, or surrendering. It's almost like you're kind of bringing in the hanged man archetype, where you have to surrender that and understand that maybe we should just have the experience and not try to analyze it so much and just be in the experience rather than having that distorted mind come in and try to rationalize things. So I know when I trying to understand whatever experience, sometimes my rational mind comes in and tries to take it all away from me. So that's what I get for being a nurse for 10 years. So trying to unlearn some of that programming, the scientific analytical programming. Super interesting though, huh? So let's go into transformation of the body. There's not much here, but maybe I can add a lot. You have a lot in mind, even though there's only two particular paragraphs where it talks about this, but I had a lot more going in my mind when I was reading through it. Okay. So this is archetype number 13. And by the way, the transformation archetypes are the archetype right before the Great Ways. Okay, so this is like the last step before you get to the Great Ways. I did want to kind of go into and talk about going in succession with these things, Does it ne do you necessarily go in succession with these things when we're going through this archetypical process of ourselves? Not particularly, but the more I study them and the more that I'm aware of how they're functioning in my own life, there does seem to be somewhat of a pattern. At least I'm seeing somewhat of a pattern. But I do see how one would almost need to go through one to get to the other, like you definitely need to go through some kind of catalyst before you transform something and then learn how to perfect it, with the great way. So that is what I'm suggesting is, watch for the pattern in these things, and definitely do some journaling, and we'll talk a lot more about this in the course I'm going to do, well, that I am doing. But journal through your experiences with these archetypes from day to day or week to week or something. I am noticing I'm not sometimes I'm in an archetype for a couple of days, and then sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's some other amount of time, and depending on what I need for that time and what needs to get me through this time, what lessons I need, or what lessons I'm working on with others, and what area of mind am I in, so, or what should I call forth for certain experiences, like, hey, I know I've got this going on Saturday, what would be the appropriate archetype, that I would need to be functioning in, or whatever the case may be. But that is something I suggest, is discover how they're working in your own life with certain experiences, and then in turn you will kind of get to maybe a point where you can invoke those certain archetypes. So transformation of the body, it is called death. Let's see what they say though. Transformation of the body is called death. Or with death of the body is transformed into a higher vibrational body for additional learning. Is this correct? Ra says, yeah, this is correct, and may be seen to be additionally correct, in that each moment, and certainly each diurnal period of the bodily incarnation, each moment offers death and rebirth to one which is attempting to use the catalyst which is offered. Okay, so here we see how the possibly the catalyst of the body and the transformation of the body are working, right? If you're feeling, I know when I was in a, I think I was really focused on catalyst of the body, and I didn't realize, well, didn't realize I was in that archetype at first, but I'm like, ooh, for some reason I am really focused on the body, getting the body moving, this and that. And then in a sense, it that will offer a transformation of the body. So how well are you using this catalyst and which is offered it? Because once you use the catalyst in a positive way or an efficient way, then you reach transformation of the body. It is necessarily, I mean, I guess it can meet a physical death, but when I read this card, to me it doesn't mean death in the way that we perceive death. To me it means, and this is just my opinion, this is my perspective, you can use it or don't use it. It means more like a symbolic, like I am not the same person I was a week ago, I mean, or a year ago, or whatnot. And but in my mind, for some reason, I'm still holding on to that person, but I'm not. I can transform at any moment in time. I can choose to be a better person in each moment, every time. So, but in order to do so, I have to not hold on to the aspects of who I was, a certain time ago. So then I have to let that old version of me pass away, right? And then understand that I am this new entirely being. When we go back to the actual definition of transformation here, again, this is through a dramatic change in form or appearance. So through the catalyst of body, we enter our transformation of the body. And there is some, I guess that's how it works for me, but I mean, There is some other experience of the body, significator of the body, and then transformation of the body. So, are you finding yourself focused on your body all of a sudden? Okay, are you wanting to get your body moving all of a sudden? Okay. Who is your body? How do you feel about your body? You know, what's going on with it? Transformation of the body is really getting to a point where you have your body in a efficient state of being in the way that you want it. You know, much like caterpillar into butterfly type situation. You know, but we do have to put in the work. And then we go into the great way, which is the alchemist. I mean, this is somebody who is able to bring forth the fruits of the spirit through the body. And that is the whole point of it. In fact, I think that is what we're going to talk about next is transformation of the spirit. Again, this is changing from one form to another. So this is an experience in your life. This is an archetype in your life that just transforms you. You know, just realizing that you are transformed, whether it's mind, body, or spirit. But let's see what they say. 20th archetype. Transformation to spirit, possibly analogous to the sixth density merging of the past. Is this in any way correct? Nope, says. So then Don kind of clarifies. Can you tell me what the 20th archetype would be? That which you call a sarcophagus in your system maybe seem to be the material world, if you will. The material world is transformed by the spirit. The material world is transformed by the spirit. Into that which is infinite and eternal. The infinity of the spirit is an even greater realization than the infinity of consciousness. For consciousness, which has been disciplined by will and faith, is that consciousness that may contact intelligent infinity directly. There are many things which will fall away in the many, many steps of adeptive. We have wrong to walk these steps and praise the one infinite creator. At each transformation. So it's like I suppose getting through each archetype is a transformation in itself, but these are a graduation, I'm saying, is what I meant. But transformation is really that key, because transformation, once you kind of graduate from that, then you move on into the great ways, and then you're an alchemist. You know, then you're bringing this stuff to the world, which is, you know, a great way to spirit. Great way of the mind. Yeah, which is the chariot, which is pretty incredible. I mean, that's your ability to move in time space is that chariot archetype. So, or are you finding your activity more in time space, more and more? So, and learning how to interact with it, I think, is key. But let's talk more about transformation of spirit. Now, this is a judgment card, so I just wanted to clarify that this is a judgment card, and I don't know necessarily that it's judgment that or how we think of judgment here in this here on Earth here. But I repeated this line here for a reason. The material world is transformed by the spirit. So if you can really have that connection with your spirit, and again, transformation of the body is, I'm sorry, great way of the body is the alchemist. And that is how you bring things forth from your spirit through the body. Okay. So if you have that connection with your own spirit, then you are able to transform the material world. Okay, and this is with our thoughts and our desire to serve and to serve others and to help others in any way that we can. And this starts with doing our own work. This starts with us. It's just not start with us laying back and saying somebody else can do the work for us or somebody else can save me. Well, what if I told you, which I mean, we've said all along, I mean, we are the one that really kind of brings forth the breaking of the chains for our own self. And in doing so, it is then that we get to show the world what we have learned, and in turn, helping the world release their own chains. But again, they are the ones that hold the key. We are just offering the info. So I hope that makes sense. Let's see where we're at with time. Okay. Does anybody have any questions so far? The chat. Sure, am I missing anything? Okay. Kind of feel like so let's go into a little bit about how the transformation of the mind kind of relates to the choice. I mean, the choice relates with all of them, but and I feel like in every minute, but let's go into this one a little bit. Because this is once we are transformed and once we master the great ways, and a great way to spirit here is the world. How are we bringing our information to the world? How are we bringing our knowledge and healing that we have done in ourselves to the world? The choice involves, well, let's go into it a little bit. We got some time. Okay. And this is 6730. Perhaps the first item which we shall address is the concept of the spirit used as a shuttle between the roots and the trunk of the mind. This is a misapprehension and shall allow the questioner to consider the function of the spirit further, for in working with the mind, we are working within one complex. Right. So you're not working from spirit or body, you're just working with the mind, and have not yet attempted to penetrate intelligent infinity. It is well said that the archetypes are a portion of the one infinite creator or aspects of its face. Okay. It is, however, far better to realize that the archetypes, while constant in the complex of generative energies offered, do not give the same yield of these complexes to any two seekers. Each seeker will experience each archetype in the characteristics within the complex of the archetype which are most important to it. Well, yeah, we all have different experiences and we're all going to recognize them in a different way. Not one of us are the same. An example of this would be the observation of the questioner that the fool is described in such a way. One great aspect of this archetype is the aspect of faith, the walking into space without regard for what is to come next. I like the fool, by the way. I mean, these are the people that we need. These are the people that run into burning buildings to save somebody. They're not caring about, well, what if I get burned? Well, what if it's too hot? Well, no, they're just like, hey, this person needs saved and I'm gonna do it. I'm not really looking at, the possibilities of this. I just know this person needs saved. This is, of course, foolish, but is the part of the characteristic of the spiritual neophyte. And I've been this fool, getting yourself into something that you get way over your head for. But in a sense, this is a good thing because you learn so much about how to organize. We didn't have organization before, and as long as you're willing to put in that type of work. That this aspect was not seen may be pondered by the questioner. At this time, we shall again request a query be. Okay, let's move on though. All right. Question 77, question 12. I'm sorry, session 20. This, I am asking with respect to this particular logos, our sun, and creating the experience of its planetary system and those so sublogoi of it. Okay. The query has substance. We shall begin by turning into an observation of a series of concept complexes of which you are familiar as the tarot. The philosophy was to create a foundation, first of mind, then of body, and then of spiritual complex. Those concept complexes. So concept, I think of when I'm trying to go over what in the world is a concept complex. I mean, a concept is a thought, how you perceive a thought. Yeah, like a concept of freedom, it's an idea, it's a thought. And again, we are just one big old thought. So, and our thoughts, create things from manifesting. That you call the tarot lie then in the three groups of seven, correct? The mind, 1 through 7. The physical, 8 through 14. The spiritual complex, 15 through 21. The last is the choice. That's number 22. Upon the foundation of transformation of each complex, with free will guided by the root concepts offered in these cycles, the logos offered this density the basic architecture of a building and constructing and synthesizing data, culminating in the choice. Culminating in the choice. So this is like your violet ray chakra. It is like a sum of all the others. Because culminating means to build on and to add to, and the sum of that number is the answer. Okay. Yeah, let's read the answer here on this one a little bit. You are incorrect that you have no mention of the location of all these concept complexes, that they exist within the roots of the mind, and it is from this resource that their guiding influence and leitmotifs may be traced. Might have to look up that definition. You may further note that each foundation is itself not single, but as a complex. Each foundation is itself not single, but a complex. So that's multiple of concepts. Furthermore, there are relationships betwixt mind, body, and spirit, so tangling all those together of the same location and octave. But for instance, 1, 8, and 15. Okay, so the beginnings of each. The beginnings of mind, the beginnings of body, the beginnings of spirit. And relationships within each octave, which are helpful in the pursuit of the choice by the mind-body-spirit complex. The logos under which these foundations stand is one of free will. Thusly, the foundations may be seen to have unique facets and relationships for each mind-body-spirit complex. Only 22, the choice is relatively fixed and single. Okay. Again, that sounds a lot like violet ray to me. You cannot change it. It is the sum of all the others. That is your true vibration, your true makeup, your true intentions. Very interesting. Okay. Going on to 77, question 16. Since all of these 21 philosophical bases result in the 22nd, which is the choice, is why choice is so important. Why the logos, it seems, put so much emphasis on this choice. And what function does that choice of polarity is precisely in the evolution or experience that has been created by the logos. The polarization or choosing of each person is necessary for harvestability from third density. The higher densities do their work due to the popularity gained in this choice. So which is it? Are you going to be serving self, or are you going to be serving others? And in each moment, just like we talked about transformation in the body, in each moment we're offered this. Each moment. Each moment. I think the road is not a straight road. The road is a winding road, and that is a culmination of all your choices. What does your road look like? Does your road look like dark and dreary and Sleepy Hollow style, or does your road look like a peaceful garden with architecture and sculptures and flowers and animals and birds chirping and that, and did you have to go through the darker road first before you finally found this garden of peace, and then chose to and then realized, oh well, I got to this nice little garden stretch of road, because I was on the darker road, and I realized, when I started making better choices, that I realized I ended up here in this nice peaceful garden, and I get to help others, and I get to serve others, and I get to use the things that I learned on this darker road to help bring other people into this garden that I have found. Okay. We'll do a couple more on the choice. Because I kind of felt drawn to do that. It wasn't in the original plan, but that is okay. Let's check our time, and I'm going to take a drink. Okay. All right. The one great breakthrough, which was made after our work in third density was done, was a proper emphasis given to the number 22, which we have called the choice. In our experience, we were aware that such a unifying archetype existed, but did not give that archetype the proper concept, complex of concepts. Complex means more than one, by the way, of concepts. In order to most efficiently use that archetype in order to promote our evolution. So how do we use this in our daily life? I mean, it's every moment. Every moment, and maybe there is a certain trigger that may bring this on. I mean, in a major way, just like regarding use of currency, okay? I mean, we have a choice with that. Are we going to use it all for ourselves, or are we going to use it to help people? Say that somebody offered you currency, what would you do with it? Would you, again, use it all on yourself, or are you willing to kind of share the opportunity with others and create something good out of it that but we do have to invest a little bit in ourselves, and then in turn, we heal ourselves, and then we get to heal the world. Let's put it that way. Okay. But emphasis should be on the choice in our day-to-day life, in every moment, every week, every month. All of this, again, it reminds me of the Bible, so the sum of all the others. Okay, so 89.26. Ross stated that a major breakthrough was made when proper emphasis was put on number 22. This didn't happen until after Ra had completed third density. I wonder if we, since we are still here, or I think we are in third density. I wonder if we now put this emphasis on number 22. Ron didn't even have it in third density, so I mean, if we're given the opportunity to do so, then I say we take that opportunity and understand how this is working and functioning. Being polarized, Ra being polarized positively probably had some of the same difficulty that occurred prior to the veil. and that the negative polarity was not appreciated. That's a guess, though. Is this correct? Ross says, in one way, it is precisely correct. Our harvest was overwhelmingly positive, and our appreciation of those who were negative was relatively uninformed. However, we were intending to suggest that in the use of the system known to you as tarot for advancing spiritual evolution of the self, a proper understanding, if we may use this misnomer of number 22, archetype number 22, is greatly helpful in sharpening the basic view of significator of mind, body, and spirit, and further throws into starker relief the transformation in great ways of the mind, body, spirit, and complexes. I mean, they all do roll together, they all do function together, and one might trigger you one into the other, but the other one is still working. I think what I want to do is, it's going to be a lot of work, but for my own self, I would like to do a journal. So I think I'm going to bring that into the course, and in the best way that I know how, because I think this will kind of help us really manage our life, our conscious evolution quite a bit easier, and just get through this transformation as a whole as we move forward in our spiritual evolution. So let's go ahead and end on that note today. Stay tuned for next week and the subject of next week. I love you all, and thanks for joining.